Our reading for Friday, June 26th, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this rite of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble." Especially compared to chapter 7, this is a really quick reading for today, and I don't have a lot of comments to add. So when we think about chapter 8, he has gone from chapter 7 talking about sexual relations and the marriage relationship to chapter 8, now we're talking about food. I would just remind you that they have been in contact with Paul, and they have been asking him some questions, and that's probably why it looks like he's sort of making a bullet-pointed type letter to them to answer these questions, because that's probably what he's doing. So concerning food offered to idols, he begins talking about this, and he points out, verse 4, that an idol has no real existence. There is no God but one, that is the one true and living God. Okay, and then verse 8, he says, "Food will not commend us to God, and we are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do." So he tries to drive this point home, that food is just food. That's all it is. It's the nourishment of our bodies, and to try to read more into it or ascribe more meaning to it is a human thing and not a God thing. So that's really his point there. I would point you towards Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15. If you'd like to investigate what he's teaching here a little bit more, I think that those particular chapters would be useful in helping you understand this idea of, you know, don't take your own liberty and abuse it to the point that it harms somebody else. We know that if we have a conscience issue and we violate our conscience, to us it is sin. And that's his point in verse 12, sinning against your brothers, wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. So it makes it very clear that we are to think about others, even in the performance of our own liberties or following our own liberties. I would also remind you, or perhaps tell you if you don't already know, that what he's referring to is meat that would have been used in an idolatrous sacrifice, but then it is taken and sold in the market for people to buy in order to make money off of it. And his point is that, again, food is food. If you go to the market and you buy meat and you take that home to your family and you're going to eat that, all it should be to you is meat that you bought at the market. If you place a significance on it, that it was used in a sacrifice, then you are creating a problem for yourself. We need to let food just be food. Now, if you were going to the idol and then you were sitting there and eating the sacrifice, as he's pointing out, and somebody sees you, you could harm their conscience. So there's a problem there. But if you're just going to the marketplace and buying meat, then it really, really doesn't matter. I mean, today we go to the supermarket and we go to buy meat Do you ask about the background of all that meat? I mean, I realize today we've got some labeling process where we can buy meat that, for example, hasn't been exposed to a lot of antibiotics or to genetically modified grains. We can make those types of choices. But other than that, we don't know that much about it. I recently purchased some beef a while back from a rancher, and I was discussing that with my father of how good the roast tasted. And he asked me, well, what kind of cow was it? In other words, was it a Brahman? Was it a Longhorn? That type of thing. And I hadn't really thought about it. I didn't really pay that much attention. I had to go back to the cattle company website to figure out what type of cattle it was. We don't have that kind of information. We just don't have all the background there. And it would have been even more so in the first century, that unless you started asking questions, you weren't really going to know where it came from. So let food be food and leave it at that. Now in verse 1, he says, all of us possess knowledge, and this knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. He's saying a reliance on knowledge alone will puff us up, and that puffing up will make us override the loving relationship that we ought to have. We're going to get to talking about love, and he's going to make the point that without love, nothing else really means anything. It's all vain, it's all worthless, it's the clanging cymbal. And so when we're thinking about this, he says, knowledge is great, but you've got to have love. And what he's talking about there is that you have a liberty to do certain things, but there might be some of those things you have a liberty to do that if you do them in the presence of a weaker brother, that could violate their conscience or get them to do things that violate their conscience, and you will have violated the law of love. So he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love has to be part of the equation. Sometimes we give up of a personal liberty in order to embrace what is best for my brother or sister. And that's why he says in verse 13, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. I'll be perfectly willing to give up a personal liberty for the betterment of my brother or sister. Verse 5 and 6, he really just drives home this point that there's only one God. There's only one God that's real and that matters and that we are amenable to. Verse 7, however, not all possess this knowledge, but some through former association with idols eat food as really offered to idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. He's explaining what the problem is for others and in explaining why it would be an issue for them. If you were a Jew and you never paid any attention to those things, or maybe you were a Gentile that just wasn't involved in any idolatrous religion, none of that might affect you at all. But for the one that came out of one of those religions and knows that meat sold in the market came from those sacrifices, and he knows what the significance of those sacrifices were supposed to be under that religion, then yes, it can be a problem for them. Verse 9, then he says, take care that this right of yours, this liberty that we have, does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Let me make this clear. Liberty means that I have the choice. I have the choice to do this. Liberty doesn't mean that I have to do this. So there is a choice involved. So he says, take care that this right of yours or the exercise of that liberty does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Verse 10, it goes back to my point about them seeing you eat in the idol's temple or seeing you eat the food, knowing where it came from. Verse 11, so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. When you exercise that knowledge without a consideration of love in the matter. Thus, sinning against your brothers, wounding their conscience when it is weak, you then sin against Christ. We will be condemned for it. We will be condemned for not exercising brotherly love. Thank you for listening today. We will pick up with 1 Corinthians chapter 9 on Monday's reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.